Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that we can be here as men who are committed to you and to the work that you're doing in this world. Father God, we thank you for the unity we have as churches. That, Father, though we come from different parts of the region, Lord, you've still brought us together, not only for this event, but for the women's conference last weekend or for the various other things we've got going on. God, we praise you for that. We thank you and we celebrate the work you're doing. God, we ask that you guide us now as we turn to a slightly different topic and a different tone. We pray, Father, that you would guide us, guide our hearts, guide my words. Help us, Father God, to be better leaders, better, more faithful to you, more useful to the work you're doing, more effective in our roles, and help us, Father God, to glorify you in all things. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We dedicate this time to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's start with a couple questions here. Although that is my water.
That is?
Yeah, it is. Although, if you want to share something, we're kind of brothers here. We can. All right, so we're calling this whole thing leadership training. And part of what you've already begun seeing is that we believe that men of God who are going to be leaders in God's churches need to be men who know how to handle the Word of God. And so we're dedicating these 3 hours that we can come here and be sharpened, because there's no sense being a good, effective leader if we can't handle the Word of God straight. And one of the principles of this is right out of 2 Timothy chapter 2 here, where Paul says, "The things you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." So our desire is to entrust with you the various components that go into being a leader in God's kingdom, a part of God's work. So first, that means being a man who knows how to handle the Word of God. Last week, when Pastor Moses taught, we saw that it also means being a man of prayer. There's no sense in being a leader if we're not walking with God and having Him be a part and seeking Him as we're serving Him. So that's a key component. Likewise, today we're going to talk about how, as leaders, we need to work together. I'm going to throw the title up in just a moment. You kind of see a little bit of it on your handout here. But before we get to this, I want to ask for a show of hands. How many of us are in leadership positions right now? Could you raise your hand if you're in leadership somewhere in your church? It doesn't mean that you're an elder or a deacon. Maybe you're running a small group. Maybe you're running something else. All right, so hands up still if you are also in the top position in your church. All right, so already all of us need the material that we're going to talk about, because almost all of our hands are going up. Almost all of us are in roles of leadership right now, but there are none of us who would say, "I'm the top dog in my situation." Even the pastors here, we work with a team of elders, and so even we ourselves aren't raising our hands. So there's a sense where today we're going to talk about being leaders who are followers. Because if we're going to lead, we need to first be following the right thing, the right person, following the right direction here. So, got us some common sayings that are in our society. I'd like to talk about these and fill in the blank here. Have you ever heard the phrase where it says, "Lead, follow, or
get out of the way"?
All right, so we're talking about leadership, but there's concept that's already often in the military. Why is this something that people in the military say? This is going to be interaction to kind of wake us all up a bit. Why do we say things like this in the military? Somebody was going to say something, I cut them off.
There's great truth to that.
Why? What's the truth in this?
Well, get out of the way. In other words, if you're not going to lead someone and you're not going to follow what they have to say, that means you're not submitting to them.
Right.
So you don't belong in that group.
Right, right. And why would that be a problem in the military?
Get people killed.
Yeah. So lives depend on it in the military. There's also a sense that spiritual health depends upon it within God's church. Here's another one. The sum of the whole is greater than its parts. What does this mean? We can do more together than we can separately. And so we need to know how to work together. If we're going to be the first guy here, well, we're not going to lead or follow, we're just going to get in the way, that's going to hinder the work. And if we're also not willing to work together, that's going to hinder the work too. Last one. A man cannot be a good leader until he learns to be a good follower. So we've heard this before. What we're talking about today is not the first time you've ever heard this before. To be a good leader, we need to learn how to follow. We're building upon the character principles, and so first we need to be men of prayer. We also need to be men who know how to follow, even as we work together. So I'm going to talk to us today as though we are all leaders, and I'm going to be covering many different things that kind of flow together and flow apart at various times in our conversation, because sometimes we'll talk about following Christ, sometimes we'll talk about following somebody who's in leadership above us, sometimes we'll just talk about working together as a group. It's this all this same idea, that if we are leaders in God's church, we need to be also at the same time followers. Even the pastors ourselves have aspects of that and related to our ministry. We need to know how to work together. That's how we accomplish God's purposes. So today's training, a couple overview points here. We hope to, with this, equip you to be more like Christ so that you yourself reflect. Christ will see himself, how he is an example of this. Equip you to be a better leader because these principles, if we follow these principles, they'll cover so much ground in helping us to be able to avoid problems in our ministry. Also to examine the mindset of a leader as well as a follower, and sometimes those roles go back and forth as we're working in various situations, and to equip you with the skills to handle problems at a leadership level. Because I recognize that many of us are still in a place, even if we're elders, even if we're a small group leader, we may lead in that situation, but we're still working with, maybe even under, technically, under somebody else. I myself am the senior pastor at Wellington Community Church, but I was an associate pastor for 9 years in another church that had a very strong leader. And a lot of these principles we're going to talk about today are principles I learned as the guy who still had to go along with and be on board with somebody else. And there are definitely principles to how to have that, do that in a way that's joyful and effective. So as we continue on, looking at our time here, discussion question, why do some people not like to follow? Can we just throw out a few answers? Why don't people like to follow? Pride. Flesh that out. What is prideful about following? Or what's not prideful about following? Why is that effective?
Independent spirit. I mean,
an independent spirit.
I know more.
I know more. Independent spirit.
Their way is better.
Their way is better.
They don't want to be told what to do.
Don't want to be told what to do.
Don't
want
to
humble themselves. They refuse to submit. Yes.
Rebellion.
Yes. You can see that these aren't necessarily admirable qualities, and as men of God, as men of God, this is not the path for us. Let's talk about what that path looks like. Let's look at some examples of great followers. I'm going to give you some names. You got one up there already. Tell me, who did this man follow, how long, or roughly how long, and then what happened when he became a leader? So Joshua followed who?
Moses.
Do we know how long?
About 40 years.
And who did he lead once he started to lead? What'd they do?
Went into the promised land.
Went into the promised land. Not a bad thing on your resume, right? So he followed for 40 years. Can you imagine following for 40 years? I did it 9 years in New Jersey. He did it for 40 years. And yet when he finally got to that point of being an influencer and a leader, he led the people to the promised land. That was the divine plan of God, but still an example of a great leader. How about Elisha? Who'd he follow?
Elijah.
Do we know how long, roughly? 10-ish years. What happened to Elisha once Elijah was removed from the situation? Do you remember?
Received a double portion.
Picked up the mantle, received a double portion. How about Peter? Who'd he follow?
Christ.
How long? 3 years. And what happened to him once he became the leader?
Led.
Led the church, turned Jerusalem upside down, right? All right, so that's followers. And so we're already seeing that we can talk about followers and talk about great men. There's a connection there. Well, let's talk about some examples of non-followers. Okay, we'll do the same but the reverse. Non-follower. Who did he not follow? God. Who did he lead? Eve. How did he lead her?
Astray.
Letter brought curse to us all, right? All right. Who did he follow? I'm sorry, who did he not follow? Thank you. David. Who's David's relationship to Absalom? His dad. All right. And what did he do, or who did he lead, I should say? A lot of Israel. And how did he lead them? Into a rebellion. All right. How about this guy? Who did he not follow? All right. Who did he lead? Kind of a little bit of somewhat of a tricky question.
Roman soldiers.
Roman soldiers. And what did he lead them to do?
Capture Christ.
Yeah, capture Christ. Right, and ultimately crucifixion of Christ. Now, contrast Judas. Judas is one of the 12. He and Peter, you know, basically the same gig, spent this time with the Lord. Who had a greater impact for good on this world? It's a hard question, I know. Kind of think about it. Maybe talk amongst yourselves if you need to. The apostles, who were followers and served the Lord, submitted to him, followed him, had this spectacular impact on the body of Christ that we still feel today. Judas, who said, I'm going to follow my own way, goes his own way, is dead, and nobody names their kids Judas. At least not a lot of people name their kids Judas. So being a follower, being a righteous follower, is the path towards an eternal impact in this world and in our churches and our homes. And so we want to look at this concept further. So when I say this, I recognize when I prepared this, this was a hard lesson to prepare, because I'm basically calling us to, like, kind of like saying, being a dweeb, you know, the term itself, follower, is a pejorative term. It's a negative term. We don't like the term. And yet here I am holding this out as something that is a path towards godliness. And I recognize this. So here's some other ways of talking about this. Maybe being an armor bearer. Who, do you remember that the famous armor bearer in the Bible? Jonathan's armor bearer. Excellent. Here's what he said. Here he is coming alongside of Jonathan, and he says in 1 Samuel 4:7, do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you heart and soul. Wow, isn't that an awesome verse there? We're calling men to join with the work of God, that we can come together heart and soul in service to Christ. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That's what we're looking at. Or being maybe the second chair. It's kind of a common term these days. That's what I was in New Jersey, the second chair, where you still, all of you still have influence. The fact that you're here means that you care about influence, you care about serving, you care about leading, you have influence. And so there's that role of being in the second chair. Also, the last three, being unified, being on the same page, being aligned, these are all just the same idea of being a team player. Doing what's best for the group. Saying, wow, you know, looking at your situation and saying, you know, there is a way I can handle this that's not good for the body of Christ, and there's a way I can handle it that is good for the body of Christ. And handling it in a way that is good for everybody. This is this idea. You can call it being a follower. You can call it many things. But being a team player, saying, you know what, I recognize that we're working together as a team here. So we're talking about being a follower. We're talking about ultimately leading together as leaders in the various ways that we are leaders, working together to accomplish God's purposes in our ministries. Is that something that we hopefully all want, to accomplish God's purposes? All right, good. So what are we not talking about? We're not talking about being a blind follower. Leaders need you to think for yourself. We're not saying we need blind followers in the church. We don't need mindless followers. We need you to think about the vision of the leadership and make it your own and then be a part of advancing it. We don't need unbiblical followers. We need you to be righteous men yourself. We need righteousness in what we're doing. That is what God will bless. So we're not talking about blind followers, mindless followers, unbiblical followers. And we're also not talking about all the complex facets that go into relationship dynamics. Today we're just talking about this principle of how do we come together, work together, follow Christ, follow somebody if there's somebody who's maybe above us in a rank or a status in some situation. How can we be a part of being a blessing to the work that God is doing in our church? So another thing to talk about is, what are we talking about in a different sense? We're not talking about blind followers, things like that. How about what we are talking about? We're talking about pleasing Christ and becoming like him. We all want to hear that phrase, right? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear. And we want to talk today about how to do that. Also about being the kind of church and the kind of leadership that God will bless and use. God uses churches filled with men who are following him and submitted to him. And if we're coming together and unified together, that becomes something that God will use, and he'll bless that. So we're also talking about having harmony and unity with others. Anybody know what Psalm 133, verse 1 says? Some might, maybe not. How blessed, how good and pleasant is it for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's a blessing. Psalm 15, it's evil to take up a reproach against a friend. God wants us to have harmony with others. Also, we're talking about being fellow workers that know how to disagree and dialogue with respect. That's an aspect of what it means to be that team player. That saying, you know what, I may not agree with what's going on here. Let me do this and handle this in a way that's respectful and honoring to Christ. It's also talking about being a great leader, because this is how we won't be a great leader here unless we're walking with Christ and accomplishing the things that he has called us to do. There's no sense in building grand buildings and having all kinds of ministries and having all these things that are under our responsibility as leaders if we're not doing what God has called us to do. So we're talking ultimately about having an eternal impact and being great leaders that God will use and also that others will follow as we follow Christ. So, what are some benefits of being a follower? Well, one, we learn to be a clear leader. Again, these are some of these principles I've just learned because I've been in that role for so long. When you follow someone closely, you learn what happens if you get unclear commands or unclear instructions. And so as you learn to follow, you also learn to value clarity in leadership. And when you have that opportunity, you'll be a clear leader. Likewise, we become kind leaders. When you follow others, and if sometimes people say things that are harsh or quick or unreasonable, and you follow because you're going to be like Christ and work in that situation, you realize how hard it can be to follow some rules or instructions are difficult. And so when you have that position of leadership, you're kind in that role. We become a servant leader. When you follow others, you learn how hard it is to serve that way. And so when you become that leader, you're no longer sitting there glad that you have a bunch of people following you. Instead, you go back and try to help them as well. And you're trying to serve them that they can excel more as leaders. We also become Christ-like leaders. When you follow Christ, you learn to be humble. You learn to focus on him. You're driven back to Scripture. All those passages in Scripture where Christ himself submitted to the Father or endured the trials that he endured, those become very real to you. And his words become your strength, and you find, in fact, how true and right his teachings are when it comes to these truths. We also learn to accomplish what Christ has called us to do. That ultimately is the goal. We want to become men who do what Jesus has called us to do. And so part of that is being a great follower. So with this discussion question, who is the greatest follower ever? Christ. All right, not a lot of discussion there. No, who wants to debate that? Anybody have a different idea? No? All right, so we'll go with Jesus. Jesus is the greatest follower of all time. Let's talk about the example of Christ. Who did Jesus follow? Followed the Father. Was it necessary for him who is our example to be a follower?
Yes.
Yeah. When people are following our example, they need to see that we too are following Christ's example and following our Father as well. They need to see in us what that looks like. Let's look at some verses here. Hebrews 5:8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. A couple quick questions. When Jesus submitted to the Father, was there any change in his rank or status or worth? No. So, does that mean that if we submit and if we follow, does that mean we're a lesser person? No. No, we're not. And we tend to have that view, especially as men, that if I'm going to follow somebody, then I'm somehow, there's something deficient in me, I'm not as smart, not as wise, not as godly. We talk in our church about, we don't want to make it so that there's a corporate ladder within the church, that you grow in Christ, you become a small group leader, you become a deacon, you eventually become an elder. We want to get rid of the corporate ladder view of Christianity, but rather, we're just to be men who are walking with Christ and doing what he has called us to do. Likewise, when Jesus was a follower, how did his following God impact his spiritual effectiveness in the world?
Well, if you look at the apostles and everything, they emulated, you know, when Peter started answering on Pentecost,
right?
He did what Christ did. He went back to the Word, and he had seen Christ do that. Prayer became important. The Word of God was important.
Yeah.
They picked that up from him.
Right. Excellent. Along those ideas, anybody else have any other ideas about how did Christ's following have an impact?
Well, when Christ followed, he showed a unity with the Father. And that means that, as our example, then there should be a unity among the elders to follow Christ, but there's a unity all around us.
Right. Unity all around us. Good. I see a hand go up back that way. Humility. Can you flesh that out? Not about what I want, right? Beautiful. All right.
His loyalty was to the Father.
His loyalty was to the Father. That's good. Yeah. Therefore, our loyalty as well. So we need to understand that following God does not change our rank. Following others does not change our rank. In fact, Christ's obedience is what accomplished redemption, gave us the example. We ourselves can likewise have an impact on those around us as we follow Christ. Another verse, another famous verse here. We kind of alluded to it with Ron's lesson. Philippians 2:8, being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So how did Christ humble himself? How did he obey? How did he follow the Father's will? I know it's obvious, but what did he do? He went to the cross. Right. Would that be something relatively easy to do? No. So following at times can be difficult. It can require dying to self. It can require crucifying ourself in a sense and saying, I will still do what's right in this situation. A couple more examples here. I'm going to put a verse on the screen here. And you've got some fill-ins, right? I think you have some fill-ins in your handout. Do you have some fill-outs in? Or is that coming on up?
Dynamics of following is the next time we get buildings.
There's also a discussion question. Yeah, how is submission being like Christ?
Yeah, okay, so we're not there yet. All right, so this is just for us conversation here then. How does what we're about to read point to following the Father's will? For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. That's kind of obvious. That's following the Father's will. Let's go to the next one. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, as you will. I guess we're going to move on because of time's sake. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear. My judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. So when you look through these verses here, you see that Jesus was not about himself. It was not about his will. He was not trying to please himself. He submitted to the Father, even though he knew it would be painful. All right, so now to the discussion question. How is following being like Christ? And how is a lack of following being like the world? I mean, that's what we're looking at here. When we just gave a few minutes ago, where people, why they don't want to follow, now we're seeing it black and white. We've seen the example of Christ. How is following being like him? How is not following being like the world? Yes, sir.
Following, being like Christ is exalting God, I guess, and following the world would be like exalting self.
All right. That's good. Following Christ is like exalting the Lord. Following self is exalting, following the world is exalting the world. What else we got? It's good. It's late.
Like there's an element of humility in following. And there's an element of reverence to something higher than yourself in following.
Good. There's humility, reverence to something higher than yourself. Ron, you had a hand up.
And I wouldn't even recall this one had we not just preached it, but in John 5 there, where he does the healing, and then he's accused of, you know, having his own agenda, essentially, and Jesus said that he literally could not operate outside of his Father's will, that such would destroy the Godhead immediately.
Right.
And so that fierce independence that we all have, it almost, we've got really work to set that aside to do a buy-in to a group program that we don't always have our way, that it's...
Yeah, good. That's good stuff. Excellent. Yes, sir?
In the following, and what you see, too, is the motive for Christ was his love for his Father.
Mm.
His obedience was for the love for his Father. And even in, you look at his submission, it was because of his love for the Father. So he had no problem submitting because of the Father's love for him.
Right.
And in turn, I think that's where John brings it out as well. When we talk about our following, we love him because he first loved us.
Yeah.
And so that becomes the sense in which Christ was the one that followed Christ in love that motivated him. So in our following Christ, it becomes the same thing. We can do it. I mean, when you look at the love of Christ, what greater motive is that?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's beautiful. Thank you. All right, let's move on. So let's talk about some dynamics of following here. We need to recognize that we are all followers. Now, we don't like that term. It rubs us wrong to say I'm a follower, but we're following something. Every one of us has a compass. The question is it a good compass? Is it a working compass? But we are all following something, even if it's our own heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says our heart is deceitful and wicked, cannot be understood. We could be following a messed up compass, but we're still following something. So we need to recognize that. So here's some passages. Here's where you can fill out in your handout here. I'm going to throw some verses on up. And who are we supposed to follow based on this verse?
Paul.
Excellent. No, not Paul. Yeah, well, okay, Christ. Paul and Christ. Oh, my bad. My handout here has the answer, but it's the right verse there. So it is Paul. Yes, thank you. I've got some more notes here to myself. I didn't read properly. All right, let's read this verse here. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Who are we supposed to follow here? Now, maybe think to the passage and the context a little bit. Who are we supposed to follow in that verse?
Heroes of the faith,
specifically. Elders, church leaders. Yeah. That's what he's, that whole section there is talking about leadership in the church.
It could be whoever qualifies, whoever spoke the word of God
yeah.
to you.
Yeah.
And who led you to Christ.
Yeah.
Whether an elder or a friend.
Right. Person who's teaching the word of God faithfully. It's good. All right. This one here, Philippians 3:17. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Now, we already have Paul. Somebody's going to tell you it's not Paul. At least in this, there's two people in this. We're talking about the second one. Who else do we follow in that passage?
Mature Christians.
All right. So you can see we're to follow Jesus, who followed the Father. We're to follow Paul, who followed Christ. We're to follow those who teach us, the elders, the teachers of God's word, as they're being faithful. Well, even to follow mature believers, even if they want an official title, if they're mature, godly men, let's follow them. All right, let's talk about some practical things here. So far we've been kind of pretty clear, straight Bible stuff. This is a little bit of opinion, and so just letting you know that it's not quite as biblically saturated, but these are some labels of what it means to be a follower, because we'll find that there's different roles we can have as a follower, and those roles will change based on our situation, based upon who the other person might be. And let's talk about what some of those might be. First one is a disciple. You know, a disciple is someone who is watching the leader and saying, I want to follow that leader. I want to follow their example. And just thinking about some biblical characters here, we could probably disagree with some of these, but I'm thinking of Paul and Timothy. Timothy was a follower of Paul and was emulating Paul, and really God blessed Timothy through his faithful following. Another one would be a loyalist. And by the way, these are from a guy named Robert Kelly. And so these aren't even my ideas. I came across these, and I thought they were pretty good. There's a loyalist. This is a person who is loyal to the leader. And leaders need those who are loyal to them. And so I'm thinking of Paul and Luke as a possible example of a loyalist. We think about the book of Acts, and as he's recording the various encounters of Paul, Paul is always in a good light, or mostly in a good light. And so Luke is really he's a loyal follower of Paul. Another one would be a life way. I was really trying to find a different term than this. I kind of thought maybe a lifer, so I'm always in your way here. This is a person who's on the same path. You're following the same path together. You may not necessarily be in the same ministry at the same time, but like maybe like Ron and I, or Travis and I, or Moses and I, we're on the same path. We're encouraging each other, maybe not following directly, but still together. I'm thinking like Peter and Paul in this, because they had different ministries, different environments, same objectives, same goals. Another one would be a comrade. This is a guy who you can just kind of go to battle with, who's got your back, who you can trust, who is with you in the heat of things, that armor bearer. Maybe Paul and Silas. We don't know a lot about Silas, but you get that sense when he's referred to in Scripture. And then I've got a line here, because there's also another level which I think is helpful to see, and that's the apprentice. You know, that's a person where I'm following because I'm looking to learn, but I'm ultimately moving on. I know God has other plans for me. And so I'm thinking about Paul and Barnabas, or maybe I should say Barnabas and Paul, because it starts out where Barnabas in Acts 13 is kind of the lead of the two, and then that rule eventually changes and Paul eventually moves on to other ministries. And so with these dynamics of following, they're helpful to understand that it doesn't necessarily mean that I am perhaps below this person. Maybe I'm coming alongside them. Maybe I'm joining with them. Maybe I'm emulating them. And so going back over this, there's some questions we can ask ourselves as we're interacting with the people around us, the leaders who are among us. Maybe say, is this leader someone whose personal life is one I want to emulate? If they're godly, if they're stable, if they're committed to Christ, if they understand and know how to live biblical principles, maybe I should be something of a disciple to them and listen to them and learn from them and follow their example. Maybe he's a godly man and he needs support. Maybe there's difficult situations going around him. He needs a loyalist, someone who has got his back, someone who is going to also stick with him and be a part of that ministry. Is this a person who shares your convictions? Maybe they're a small group leader and they have their own small group and you're a small group leader, and yet you still have that same convictions, those same commitments. Well, let me support them and be a part of them. Even if I'm not following directly, I'm still coming alongside and walking that path and helping them forward their ministry. Maybe the leader needs our help. Maybe he's going through difficult times. Maybe he needs someone to confide in. That could be a comrade. Somebody just to sit down with a cup of coffee and just share what's going on without judgment, knowing there's no chance of betrayal. I can just share those things. He can share those things and be heard and be listened to. Leaders need confidants. And so with all of these things, and also the last one, if maybe you're moving on, still spend time, still learn, still gather what you can, and then ultimately move to the next role. So these are some dynamics of being a follower. We can see here that the dynamics doesn't always have to be that straight hierarchy. There's other aspects of being a follower. As we continue to unpack this idea, let's look at our role in that situation, because the role may change depending on where we are, in our role in the organization, our role in the small group, our role in the elder board. That role may change, and so let's talk about this a little bit. First, we need to recognize our master in this situation. Being a leader always begins with following God. God's leaders are submitted to him. They're submitted to his word. We don't need men. We're going to stand up and be ruled by their flesh, be ruled by what they think, be ruled what's on Oprah, be ruled by something else. We need men who follow the word of God and follow God. That's what we need. Recognize that your master has placed you in this situation. When you lead, it's very common to be very discouraged in your leadership. God is often putting men in leadership to make them more like Christ, and he's going to use difficulty and adversity and trials and challenges to make you more like Christ. He might even put you in that situation where you're perhaps following somebody, and that person is asking you to a level of excellence that you're not accustomed to, and God is using that to produce humility within you, produce obedience in you, produce maybe a greater effectiveness in you. These are things that God is doing in your life to transform you, to make you more like Christ. Maybe you need to die to self. Maybe you need to learn how to rely upon God's grace more. Maybe what is being asked of you, it seems like it's beyond what you can do. Your master has called you in that situation to rely upon his grace, to follow his compass, and let him lead you and let him guide you. Likewise, recognize your role. You're a part of a spiritual organization, and you're not the puppet master making all this happen. God has got all these pieces connected together, and he's making these pieces work together. Romans 12, we are a body of Christ. We have eyes and hands and feet and teeth and noses. We got all those things, and God has each of us in our situation for a reason. We have a role that can be a blessing to that group. And so even as we're following, we can use our particular gift set, our particular skills to help advance and further the vision of the leadership, further the vision of the church, to help accomplish what God has called us to do. Likewise, in that same sense, if I've got a hand or if I've got a foot, we are working together, even if they're in different purposes. If you're an elder on your elder board, one way you can be a follower is encouraging and supporting the vision of the other elders. Maybe you have an elder who's over a certain kind of ministry or a certain, they have a specific role or a specific project they're working on. You can, quote unquote, follow them as they're leading. Maybe it's a building project. And you can help advance their goals and help advance their vision. If people are kind of talking behind the scenes and saying, I don't like what Bob is doing with the building project, you can support Bob behind the scenes by being a part of that situation. And you're following him by supporting him, even though you have a different role. That's the body working together. We'll speak and encourage each other. We'll understand what each other is doing. Sometimes there's a sense where leaders have no idea what other leaders are doing. Maybe they're leading a small group, and I have no idea what he's doing. Maybe he's a Sunday school leader, and I have no idea what he's teaching in his class. And someone says to me, or says to you, or whoever, hey, I'm thinking about going to a small group that's dedicated to learning, I don't know, principles of being a good husband. And if you have no idea what's going on at other group, you really can't support or encourage that leader and work together with him because you have no idea what he's doing. And so that's where leaders can work together and say, you're leading that small group, and I'm the treasurer of the deacon board, but I can still support and work together with you to accomplish what Jesus is doing in our church family. Let's see, moving on here, recognize your gifts. Same kind of thing as recognizing your role, but what I wanted to kind of step out here is that Ephesians 2:10 says that God has created good works for us to do, prepared from before the foundation of the world. God has ordained us to have these various roles that would honor him and glorify him. That's not the time to advance our agenda, but to look to what has God given me so I can help advance the work that he is doing in my church, in the leadership board I'm a part of, in my small group. All right. So with that, I have gone very quickly, but this is good. We'll get you out of here a little bit early. We need men who are leaders. We need men who are following God and walking together. Two different analogies. One is a jazz band. And a jazz band, you got the trumpeter doing his own thing, the piano player doing his own thing, the guy on the drums doing his own thing. Yeah, it's nice, but it's a jazz band. Jesus calls us not to be jazz players, but to be a symphony, mm-hmm. where we have one orchestra, a conductor, and we have one set of music we're following. And we've got the trumpets, we've got the trombones, we've got the timpanis, and we're all doing this together. We're accomplishing Jesus' purposes. It doesn't mean we're actually playing the exact same notes at the exact same time on the exact same instrument, but we are coming together following Christ and following his work he's called us to do. Does anybody have any thoughts as we're talking here, since we do have a few extra minutes? Travis, anything you want to add, or Moses, or Ron?
What I was thinking of, when you're talking about being a follower and loyalty that comes with that, when a brother like that disagrees with you, it almost, it's when they display diamonds, they lay them out on a black background. So you have somebody who has been terrifically loyal, and when they come to you with a concern or a difference of opinion, man, that's something that you just can't help but listen to.
Right.
You just attend to it. It stands out in bold relief.
Right. So as we work together, when we do have those disagreements, we're going to be more inclined to listen with that harmonious attitude because we already have a history of working together.
Yeah, it's very important. I would just support one another, you know, just to support everybody's roles and ministries, and you know, if there's a particular concern, you deal with that in private, but you know, in your public face, you're really trying to strengthen one another's hand in setting them up well to succeed.
Yeah. Good. Any other thoughts? Yes, sir.
I was thinking about it in terms of the word submission in light of the follower. Paul uses the word submission quite a bit. You know, submit to those that are leaders, submit to one another, and so on. And even being in submission to Christ, and you see as Christ was in submission to his Father. So to be a good follower, it involves a submission.
Yeah. Yep. And I wrestled with that word tremendously.
Mm-hmm. But you've got to think of submission. You think of submission, and we also think of authority. But the submission is nothing to do with authority. You submit because you love. That's what Paul means when he talks about submission. It is a submission because of love. So if you really love God, you have no problem submitting to him.
Right. Right. And really along those same lines, as using this symphony metaphor, that if I want to go off and do my own thing, there may be times as a faithful leader, I say, you know what, I'm not going to do this obscure project over here. I'm going to submit that to the leadership because the leadership is going in this direction here. I'm going to be a part of what they're doing to support and encourage and be a part of what God is doing in that situation. Good. Yes, sir.
Out of the little pamphlet from Jonathan Edwards, he said, "In like manner, there can be no love without knowledge. It is not according to the nature of human soul to love an object which is entirely unknown." Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you understand your salvation and who you've sinned against and understand what he's done for you, just like he's talking about the love you have for him, you have no problem in submitting under that authority. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's where as leaders we also ourselves need to be transparent. When I was in seminary, one of my mentors used to say, you lead through transparency. You lose your transparency, you lose your ministry, he used to say. And so I try to show that, hey, I am not perfect. You can ask the guys in my church. They'll easily confirm that. I'm not perfect. At the same time, I'm trying to demonstrate what it means to pursue Christ in my imperfections, as I'm trying to pursue Christ. There's no sense in acting like I'm better than I am. Yes, sir.
How would you address a question somebody asked, like, I'm in this position, I got put here, I need to determine whether this person is worthy of my following him before I follow him. Now, he has to earn my respect. Mm-hmm. How would you address that to Christian men, say, in the workplace?
Right. We're called to honor one another. And so the idea I have to have men earn my respect, it's a worldly, that's a very worldly perspective. We're called to honor each other. Now, there may be a person who has disqualified themselves from leadership, but our position should be to assume the best and, in, at least in an initial sense, give them honor and serve them that way. Yes, sir.
I'm pretty sure that's not the way it works in the military, or in the work world.
To give honor?
The sergeant has to earn your respect.
Oh, yeah.
Or the boss that hired you. That's a really...
That's a good question. That's such an arrogant attitude that says, I'm the judge on whether you're worthy of my following you, my submitting to you. I'm the judge, and you will prove yourself to me before I ever line up. That is not what God calls us to do. We're honor the rank, salute the rank, right?
Yes, sir.
I just appreciated the part where you talked about the leadership you're talking about, or following what you're talking about, is not lying and mindless and biblical. Because to be honest, one of the things that, as you were talking earlier on, that I thought that was a godly man, but wasn't a good follower, was Daniel. He didn't follow Nebuchadnezzar. The thing of it is, Nebuchadnezzar was probably the happiest man in the world if he didn't follow.
Romans 13, how do we just live a righteous life in a sinful world? Follow the government, the just laws. I'm sure you can speak of that in more detail, but yeah. Good. Any other thoughts? Yes, Adam.
So, Russ, in Sunday school this morning, we're talking about Hebrews 13:17, which says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your soul, as those who must give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this will be unprofitable for you.
It hurts the church family. It does. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. Even in Hebrews 13:17, since the beginning of time, there's only one perfect leader. It's Christ.
Yeah.
If you're going to be fault finding with leadership, man, you know, just take a number. Everybody has flaws, imperfections, lack of maturity in some ways. But God is the one who determines who gets put in what positions of authority. Yeah. I mean, if a person's disqualifying themselves, then there is a process for that.
Yeah. All right. Excellent.
Thank you, Russ.
Thank you so much. Men, thank you for your attendance, your attention, and Ron, again, wonderful. Just so blessed to have you going through the Bible study skills with us, Diligent Bible Study, and Russ and Moses. Thank you guys for your exhortations. I'm going to close in prayer, but I wanted to see. I think there are some of you men who were not here the last time, and so what? To get on our email list. So we can make sure that we get you. I'd love to get you some of the articles and the material that these men have sent out. Moses sent out a great article on prayer. He taught on prayer last time. It was fantastic. And I'm not sure if you have electronic version, but if you'd like some of those materials and you'd like to have the reminder that comes out to say, hey, did you get your homework done? That kind of thing before the August 7th session.
No homework for my time.
No homework.
Other than just be good followers and good leaders.
That's the friendly pastor there.
Oh, man. Good God.
We like Russ more than Ron. He's a hard pastor. So if you guys would like some of that, send us your name, and we'll have your email then. Just email it to us at office@gracegreeley.org. office@gracegreeley.org, right? And Brett will get you into the system. If you'd like to give us more information, that's fine, but really we just need your name and your email address, okay? Okay? So let me close this in prayer. Father, we are so grateful, just so grateful for what you're doing in our midst, bringing us all together and just to having a room full of like-minded, godly men, all of us aspiring to please you. We love you dearly, and we love you because you first loved us. We are grateful for forgiven sin. We're grateful we stand perfect and complete in the full righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we are so thankful that he submitted in everything to your will, that he followed through to the very end, even to the point of death on the cross. He did that for our sake. He did that. He hung on the cross with our names in his mind. And so we are so humbled by that. We're grateful that you have drawn us together in a fellowship. We're grateful for our churches. We ask, Father, that you would keep us humble, meek men, submissive in all the different areas that we and roles that we do that, practice that submission and loyalty to our leadership. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen us and encourage us. We pray that you would protect us from the enemy's attacks. We pray that you keep us pursuing holiness and the fear of the Lord. Thank you for all the investment that these men have made into our lives. Moses and Ron and Russ, thank you for what they've done. Thank you for the weekend that we had to minister to the ladies of our churches. Thank you for the joy that was ours to bless them. We pray that you would take all the teaching that we've had this weekend, whether it's in our church services or the women's conference or even this afternoon. We pray that that investment that's been made into us, Lord, that you would use it to produce good fruit in us and help us to please you and be more effective in the ministry. And please help us to be diligent Bible students, godly men. We commit all this to you. For the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.